Hand and open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. And the word of the Lord reads, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was cupbearer to the king in the month of Nisan in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes when wine was brought for him. I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah, where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God I was on me, the king granted my requests.
Thank you. God bless you. Shall we please pray? Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. We bless you, we worship you. Father, let your will be done. Spirit of our living God, we pray you will touch us. May we take your word and go and be the doers of your word. We bless you, we worship you, and Spirit of our living God, I yield to you. I need your help. Help me, my helper. I bless you. I need your help. Help me, my helper, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are still studying on the book of Nehemiah. And last week, we did learn a few things in the chapter 1. We saw in chapter 1 that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the Persian king. And while he was the cupbearer, he got news from people who were coming from Jerusalem. And they came to give report of what was happening in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, from when he heard the news that the city gates and the walls were broken down, Nehemiah broke down, and we learned there that he repented on behalf of his land, his people. Not only did he repent on behalf of his people, but he spent a very good time in prayer, fasting and praying and mourning before the Father for the grace to be able to go and do this. And so by that message we had communion, and I made a call for repentance amongst us, that if we're looking to live the life and we want to live the heart of God, the heart of Nehemiah just lived a life that was strictly by the heart of the Lord. He discerned the will of the Lord and he gave himself to be used that way. And I made an altar call and called us to a place of repentance to live a life that honors God, a life that really cares about the will of God, not just any life, but that which cares about the things of God. And that if we are looking to be the people that will live the life that God wants us to live, then we need to live a life of repentance and not in a prideful way, but a humble way too. Nehemiah humbled himself to God. And so continuing from there, we come to chapter 2. And we see here that as he said just right before he went into chapter 2, that he was the cupbearer. And so being the cupbearer, he says that the month of Nisan came in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. I was serving the king with wine. I took the wine and I gave it to the king. I had never been sad before when I was with him, with the king. So the king said to me, your face is very sad, but you are not ill. This means that you are sad in your heart. Then I was very afraid. Fear gripped him. He was very afraid. Nehemiah was afraid. From studying this passage, we realize that Nehemiah had spent months and days in prayer and in fasting. And research proves that he had been praying and fasting for 4 good months. And in all his fasting and praying, suddenly, now the time comes where the things that he's been talking to God is really going to be put to a test. The opportunity arises where he really had to confront the matter, where he had to act upon the matter. And so he took the cup. This was he is very sad, and the king asked him, why are you sad? This was a very risky thing that happened here. And he himself had said he had never been sad in front of the king, because in history and in those times, it was expected that every servant of the king was supposed to approach the king in happiness. You don't have to you don't have to go before the king with any kind of depression look or fearful look or anything that will make the king not feel at peace or be unhappy. And in some cases, people have been killed. The king can just command that you be taken and be killed. And so Nehemiah is pouring the wine, and the king says, you are sad. But the interesting thing here is this. You would think that the next words of the king would be, go and cut off his head. No, it didn't. Nehemiah realized that God was with him. God's favor was now working on his behalf. In a situation where he was sad and goes to pour the wine, and then suddenly the king asks, what is wrong with you? God's favor at work here. The king could have given an order, go and kill him, but the king didn't. The months of prayer is certainly working, which is why I'm encouraging us to pray. To pray. Prayer in everything we do. Prayer in everywhere we go. We should spend time in prayer and pray about things. You see, it's not about activities. It's not about the things we would do. But it is just so that God's name be glorified. And you see, if we allow God into matters and into situations, he will honor himself. And this is exactly what is happening here. The great God touching a heart of a great king here. So now look at Nehemiah's response. And said to the king, may the king live forever. You see, this may the king live forever may be something that was said constantly. I mean, it's probably what every cupbearer said to the king before they went serving him on or that. But this also tells us something about Nehemiah. The guy knew how to appease his king. He has been calling on the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the great God. He had been praying for 4 months. You would think that Nehemiah would go with an authoritative view towards the king, but he knew his place. And so he spoke in ways that made the king more relaxed to hear him. May the king live forever. He made the king realize that, you indeed, I want the best for you. This news that I'm bringing for you is not for any other agenda, but to see you prosper in this matter. I want your good. So whatever that follows, the king had to remember that this guy wants my good. And don't forget, the position of the cupbearer is already the type that should want the best of the king. This position is somebody who is trusted for the life and the survival of the king. They tasted everything that the king ate before. And so it wasn't just by saying, it was how he lived his life. And we as children of God need to learn from Nehemiah this way, to be the kind of people that always want the good for people. No matter what the situation, no matter how the condition is, seek the better of others. The word of God says that love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord Jesus came and he showed us love. He wanted the best for us. That is why he came to die. And this has to be something that all of us desire for in our relations with people, whatever agenda that we have. As a pastor, I want the best for you. There might be times I might be harsh at talking to you. I might hurt you. I might say something. It wasn't in deliberate effort to harm you. I want the best for all of us. And you should also want the best for one another. And in everything we do, in our seeking to reach out there, it must be that we want the best for our community. We want the best for our nation. We want the best. It is not for any personal agenda. The agenda has to be that we want the best out of this situation for the Lord Almighty. And so you find that as a new pastor here, I'm meeting all our leaders and I'm listening to our leaders. I want to see what you're doing, where your heart is, and all that. I'm not probing into your personal life. No, I want the best for you. How best I can come along you to journey with you to bring the best out of you. It is for the good of all. And we need to learn this. We need to learn this. The city, and then he goes ahead. The city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. With this, Nehemiah explained why he was sad. Jerusalem was a destroyed, distressed place. No one had to tell the king this was a disgraceful state of affairs. Nobody had to tell the king. It was. Again, Nehemiah, if you realize, Jerusalem has a name. He could have just said, Jerusalem is in destruction. But Nehemiah does not mention the name of Jerusalem to the king. We see wisdom. Nehemiah is applying wisdom here. All the months of prayer hasn't been waste. It has been time that God had been working on him and teaching him how to speak to the king. And so, because I'm saying wisdom here, because in those times, this Artaxerxes himself, if you read Ezra chapter 4 verse 19, when the previous Israelites went back, they tried to build the gates and the walls of Jerusalem. And Artaxerxes gave a command that they stop building it. Because Israel was known in those times to the Persians that Israel was a rebellious land. It was a rebellious city. And because it was fortified and strong, and its previous kings have always rebelled against the Persians. So to the Persian king, it's almost like you come to him and you are cursing before him. Why should I let you go back to rebuild Jerusalem? The word Jerusalem is almost like a curse word to a Persian king. What? Jerusalem? You get what I mean? But Nehemiah, knowing this, chooses not to mention the word Jerusalem, but he talks of where he wants to go. So you see wisdom and tactfulness in this approach here. Nehemiah was acting in wisdom, wisdom that could only be from God and not from man. And so you find out why it is important for the child of God to have a prayerful relationship with God. It's also for God to touch them uniquely. When you are just probably just being casual and just playing with people, you act in wisdom, you speak wisdom, you operate in wisdom. Your ways are not normal to the normal person because the Holy Spirit is fully in charge of you. And as children of God, as we are looking to rebuild this year, and we are praying, we need to seek for God's wisdom in how to go about things, in how to operate, in how to do things. Leaders here, pray for God's wisdom. It's not just a matter of just coming to spend hours just sitting in the presence of God. It is good that way. But there are things we need to ask God to do in our life. And one of them is wisdom. In this modern day, the child of God needs wisdom as part of some of the most important thing the child of God will need to survive. Because everywhere you go, people are trying to be smart around you. We literally live in a world where knowledge is in abundance these days. And everybody, education is on a very high level now. But the wisdom of God separates us from the norm. And so leaders here, seek God's wisdom. How you should go about things. You see, sometimes what you want to do may not be wrong, but how you go about it makes it wrong. The way you speak to other people, the way you talk to people, the way you even speak to your new pastor will tell you something about the pastor. I am the type that likes to relate to people. I watch people. I listen to people. And it doesn't take me long to know the kind of person you are just by sitting with you. Wisdom is key. And Nehemiah is acting with wisdom here. He knew that a lot was on the plate. A lot was riding on him. And he could not make fundamental errors. We as children of God need to desire not to be making such fundamental errors. Always having to say sorry. And I apologize. I could have done better. Yes, there is a place for apologizing. But there is a wise saying, prevention is better than cure. If you can prevent it rather than seeking a cure. Because the cure could leave a mark on you that can never be washed away or cleansed. Wisdom is key. Wisdom is key. So now let's come to 4 to 8. Nehemiah's request. Verse 4, he starts by saying, "What do you request?" It is now the king speaking to him. Right away, Nehemiah knew God gave him favor with the king. His response wasn't off with his head, but "What can I do to help?" Nehemiah knew that for 4 months of prayer, the answer was near. And again, look, the king goes ahead, he says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Prayer is very good. It's good to spend time in prayer. But in this case, Nehemiah, you see, the guy was so ready and alert, and he knew and understood his place, that when he now realized that he had got the king's attention, and the king is literally acting a certain way differently towards him, he paused and he prayed. The prayer was in a moment. Children of God need to learn to be patient. Some of us are in such rush in life. USA is a fast-moving nation. We live in a city, in a town, things move fast. So we always want to respond. We always want to do something. I have to be quick at this. In your quickness, in your willingness to take an action, always make sure you have sought the Lord's permission in a matter. And that is what Nehemiah is doing here. He had just a moment. So within the few minutes when the king says, he pauses and he prays. I prayed to the God of heaven. Moments of prayer is important. When we have to make any decision, not just decision, in conversations, in things that we do, it's good to pause. It's good to pause and pray. And that's exactly what Nehemiah is doing here. He prays in a pause. I have a Heaven 911. I call it Heaven 911. The Lord says, I call on me in time of need and I will answer. That is 911. Before you pick up the phone and you call the police, before you pick up the phone and you call the city office official, before you pick up the phone and you call the billing office, whatever the situation is, say a prayer. Have a lifestyle of prayer. Before you speak to, you need people's favor. And remember that God can move in the hearts of people. And so you want to ask God into the matter. Don't live your life as though you are the master and the boss of your own self. Make a call. Before you make the call, make heaven's call first. Father, I call on you. There's been several times, I tell you several times, I can't tell you. Plenty, so many times I need a decision. And listen, by God's grace, I'm not arrogant. But one thing I am is this, I am not a beggar. I don't beg people. No. Children of God are not beggars. We depend on the grace of God, and God gives us favor before men. And so when you go as a child of God with an agenda of God, you are not going to go and kneel down and lick people's feet. No. You are calling on a higher God. And so when you pick up your phone and you are calling somebody, what have you done before then? Are you calling in anger? Are you calling in hate? These people, I'm going to call them and I'll let them know what their place. I will call them and then. You are calling in anger. You are so fired up. I want to talk to them. And before you realize what's happening, you've allowed the enemy to come in here. And so you make the call, and the person that is speaking to you is like, excuse me, I don't like your tone. What? So they hang up on you. Then you get even more fired up. Why did they hang up on me? Character. A life of prayer. And you will find that as we study in Nehemiah, Nehemiah's character of prayer was just awesome. Every situation that came, he would pray. He would pray. He understood that it is not him who was in charge, but the Father was in charge. And so, children of God, how we are living our life has to be a life that we allow the Father to be in charge. Not my will, but let your will be done. Jesus understood this and he lived this way. We can live this way too because his Spirit dwells with us. The Holy Spirit makes promptings, makes intercession. He's always speaking through us. And we need to allow him to speak through us. We need to allow him to do what he wants to do in our life. I tell you, we can achieve exploits. We can do greater things here. If the leaders here will understand the place of prayer in their own life, if every worker here will understand the place of prayer in their own life, if every congregational member here will understand the place of prayer in their own life, oh, what can God not do? Prayer. I prayed. Don't forget, he was gripped with fear in the first few verses. But now he has realized that, hold on, God is moving on my behalf. So I need to leave it into his hands. The news you have received, pray. Before you even call the doctor, pray. Call heaven first. 911, call on me in time of need and I will answer. 911, heaven's 911. I remember there was a time I was going for an interview. And I got to the counter and the lady looked into my application and she said, wait, I'll be right back. The moment she said, wait, I'll be right back, I said, Father. I just said, Father, Let your will be done. The lady came back and she went to speak to somebody. They came, there was confusion and all that. Then the person she went to call to come and exert his authority, exerted the authority in my positive way. So the guy said, you know what, long queue, come back, let's talk. They took me into an interview and we sat there. Before I came out, they stamped my passport. And others were waiting. Father, let your will be done. A few minutes and everything changed. God can do awesome things in our life. God can do awesome things if we pray. I ask that. So now, this is what Nehemiah says. I ask that you send me to Judah. Again, you see wisdom here again. He doesn't use the word Jerusalem. I ask that you send me to Judah. Nehemiah again showed great wisdom here. He asked the king to share his concern for Jerusalem and to become a partner in getting the city and its people back where they should be. Many of us, God has given us visions. God gives us purposes. God has given us plans. We want to run our own plan. And we want to force people into their plan. Nehemiah is working the king to make decisions for him. He's bringing the king along with him. Many of you leaders here, you might have your agenda, what you want to learn how to bring me along with you. Learn how to do this. Learn how to bring your team members along with you. Not just here, everywhere you go, at your workplace, whatever you want to do, learn how to work with people. Learn how to work with people. He wants to go back. He had an agenda. He knew what he wanted. But if the king, he's working the man, a man of pompous and pride, but he didn't know that the guy had some divine wisdom that was operating on him. And we need to operate like this. Don't walk to people and start telling them what you want. No, it doesn't work like that. You will receive a resistance. And your mind is doing it in here. I tell you, with our plans to win this community, it's not going to be with rod and stick. No. We're going to be patient. We're going to work with people. We're going to seek God for practical and strategic ways to win our community. We're going to try and come along our city officials. In any way we can, possible, by the grace of our Lord, it is possible. And so you apply this in everything you do. I have seen people who, even in evangelizing, rather offend people. Can you imagine? The word Jesus Christ in itself is an offense to people already. And then you go and start telling them you would die and go to hell. Repent for your sin. And people are like, excuse me, I don't want to know anymore. We make people shut up, shut off, close doors to us because of our approach all the time. Whether you are here and you are a youth, whether you are a young adult, whether you are an elderly person, whatever it is, God can give you wisdom how to approach life, how to do things. You just have to ask him. And you need to learn to work with people. Understand that, you see, Nehemiah had spent months in prayer. Nehemiah had spent months in prayer. The king was just hearing, so he has to be patient to come along with him. When God gives you a vision, don't come and quickly run into my office and start telling me your vision. Hey, hold on. Probably you have been praying about it for 40 years. So I may not be able to come along with you on your vision when you tell me. You need to give me time. You need to allow me to pray and seek God concerning it. And as a lead pastor, if I tell you I don't think God is sending me this way, you need to accept it and understand that. Amen. I am not here for you, but I'm here by God's authority. Nehemiah knew how long it would take. You see, the months of planning wasn't just sitting in front of God, and the guy was talking to God, and he was allowing God to talk to him back, and he was making notes. He was better prepared. As the opportunity came, he knew exactly the things he needed. He knew who, he knew what letter has to be given, who has to be, he knew the materials he needed in everything that he was doing. And as children of God, we need, when we say we have spent time in prayer, when we say we are doing something, we need to be the type that also hears from God. Many of us are spending hours and minutes and time in prayer, but we are not acting according to God's plan. The guy had a plan, but the plan was God's plan, not his plan. And so I want to ask you, are you executing your own plan or God's plan? And in this plan, do you want everybody to come with you on this plan? These are life questions we need to answer personally. You see, if you remember, God speaks to his people and he guides them. He gives clear guidance what to do. Right from when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God had an agenda. God had a plan to rescue humans to himself. He did this through Jesus Christ up till now. Right from Garden of Eden to now, God has a plan. God works by plans. And so, when we want to do something, we want to ask God's plan concerning the matter. What's God's agenda? Many of us are telling God our agenda, but God is not telling us his agenda. You remember David? David had a heart to build a temple for God. And God told him, no. And so what did David do? He put in place all the preparation for his son to do it. That was God's plan. Don't you think David could have built it? He could have done it, but that would have been in disobedience to God. God, if you remember, right from calling Moses, he gave a plan for how his temple was supposed to be built. And so when you say you have a vision from God, a plan from God, now, as you spend time with him, he should be able to be breaking it down to you. What to do, how to go about it. Plan. Plan. Allow God to lead the plan. And as you seek to execute it, God will start to make way. And that is what is happening here. Nehemiah is executing God's plan, and God is opening the doors. You see, the spiritual engages the physical, and the physical is becoming subjective to the spirit, because God is the one that is in control here. It is not Nehemiah. It is not. Have a plan. What is your plan? What is your plan? Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plan of his heart to all generations." You see, God's plan stands. If it is not God's plan, what you are doing will not work. If you did not receive it from God, what you are doing will not work. His plan stands. Sometimes it seems like, oh, there was no plan and it worked. When you see chaos, but God still comes through and God's will is done. Most people take it that, oh, God can be relaxed and laid back. No, still God worked out his plan. Maybe we couldn't get it, but God is a supreme God and can sometimes come along to correct things. That doesn't mean he didn't have a plan. And so, seeking to win this community, we have to seek him by knowing what his will is. Not in a rush to do things. Not in a rush to start projects and activities. No. We need to wait and hear him. And when he speaks, we follow. And we need to be tactful and planning. You might think, I don't have a plan. The plan is what I'm executing now. Rebuilding, praying, seeking God. I'm talking to you. I'm meeting all the leaders in the house. Present to me your plan, your ministry agenda, your ministry this. That is what needs to be in place. We need to be spiritual and physical. Ready. And so if you feel I'm asking too much of you, I haven't even started asking. The things God is telling me to do, I haven't even started. I'm working myself into it. I haven't started. So don't think I'm too much. Look, I'm a gift to you. God has given you a gift. Something that you can cherish. Something that in the near future you can say, wow, awesome. Awesome. Look at who God brought. It is possible. But we need to understand that planning is good. Structure is good. It is for our own good. It is the nature of God. Now Nehemiah is getting bold. Now look at the request that he does. Now he tells the king to give him letters to the right people. He said he must give me timber. Nehemiah has now realized that God is working for him. So what does he do? He begins to make requests. Some of you haven't even got to know me yet, and you are laying requests in front of me. You're coming to me with your 40-year plan. And you don't even know what's my middle name. You don't know. We need to be people that grow in confidence. And you see, some of you may be asking yourselves, why is it that everybody prays, everybody asks, and they receive it? I ask and I don't receive it. You see, it's a process. Faith is a process. Faith grows on you. If you believe God in the most little things and they start happening gradually, you start realizing that, hold on, this thing is real. It can work. So what? You start having big ambitions. And as you start having big ambitions, what? Your faith is also growing. So you, this girl or this boy that couldn't be praying to wake people from the dead, suddenly, because you have witnessed God in the most small places, you can call in times when it is a big situation and say, like David. David in the wilderness was killing lions. Animals that came to try and kill his sheep. So what does he do? When he appears before the king of Israel, he tells the king, this Philistine, uncircumcised Philistine, you guys are running from him. How coward are you people? Me? I've been killing sheep. I've been killing lions. So they're like, hold on. The guy has some experience to come and give here. So what do? They send him to go and fight Saul. He had called on the experience from the past to be able to have this big faith and go and kill Saul. We need to learn to call on faith like that. Petty things. Trust God in the most small things and start working with him on them, and you will see how it will be long. Your faith will grow. You will come to understand that this God works in even the small situations, how much more the bigger situations. How much more? And so when he's working like that for you, you become more confident. You become very confident. When people are talking and threatening you and sending, you see, as we study in Nehemiah, this guy was no nonsense. He wasn't going to waste his time on unnecessary things. He was a man of faith, a man of action, a man of fire, a man of ready. He knew what he wanted and he was going for it. And exactly that's what he does with the king. He tells the king the things he needs and he tells them, hey, tell them to write me letters with your seal of approval. Because this king had already told the people in Jerusalem, stop building the walls. And stop. He had given an order. So if Nehemiah was going to stand in front of anybody to tell them, I need this, it has to be that the king had overridden his own. You see what Nehemiah is doing here? This is big. He's literally telling the king, change your mind.
But he's doing it carefully. And he literally brings the king and the queen. You would think, you know how sometimes some people's wife are like the thorn in your flesh. You manage to get the husband, the wife is the one speaking in the ear. No, don't do it. Don't do it. And the husband is listening to the wife. But in this case, the husband and the wife were both in agreement in sending this guy to go and do the work. Because he was working then. And don't forget the months of prayer that has gone into this. And the humility, this guy, we see in the verse 1, how he was so, in the chapter 1, how he was humble before God. And you see it still working here. The humility that he had before God is the same humility that is showing up in front of the king. Some of us claim that we serve this God and we are so humble to God, but our characters are so stinky, people don't even want to relate with us. We need to be careful and watch it. If God is really working on you, if you really start to encounter God, you become the most humble person on this earth. Moses started having one-on-one conversations with God, and the word of God says that he was humbled. Why is it that we haven't even seen God? This Jesus that is supposed to be so real to us, we can't even hold on to him. But yes, we are the most stubborn people on this earth. If you are here and you can't take instruction, you can't just abide by instruction, watch it. Your stubbornness will not make you reach anywhere. Your disobedience to order will not allow you to achieve what God wants for you. Amen. And that character cannot be allowed to grow amongst us here, because there is a purpose God has for this place. And so everybody here, start to be a support to one another. If you see a character that is not, I'm not saying become Holy Ghost soldier. Now everywhere you go, you are telling people what your character is. No. But you know the things people come to tell you. The gossips that come to you. You know the prideful and arrogant people in this church. When they come to try and come and do their arrogant thing, you gotta say to them, look, this life, if you don't stop it, you will die in it. You will go to hell. Stop it. Stop it. And this same character is what is giving us problems in the world. We go out and everywhere we go, we have problems with leadership. Rebellion. But we are the children of God. Man. Nehemiah is growing in faith. And you see, most of the time, our rebellion and our lack of respect to God causes us not to have faith, because we can't gain small victories. And so the devil is hitting us with all sorts of attacks, all sorts of problems and illnesses and diseases and whatever. And we have reached this place where we are almost giving up. Some of us have given up whatever comes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, they tell me and let me go.
No, God intends the best for me and you. We can live on the best of this land, and then we will die and go to heaven and enjoy heaven too in addition. Jesus says that he came that we might have life abundantly. So work on yourself, check your character. These things are things that will take from you. They are the canker worms in your life. And we blame everything to the devil. I bet you there are certain things, when we start blaming, the devil himself will go to Jesus and beg, please, I didn't do this. I didn't do this, Lord. He's saying it, but I didn't do it, please. We are messing ourselves up. God creates a platform for us, and when that platform is supposed to work for us, we rather mess it up. But by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, none of us here will mess up the life that God gives us in Jesus' name. We cancel that in Jesus' mighty name. We denounce that. We will live a life that is yielded to God, and we shall fulfill our purposes in the name of Jesus. We shall become who God says we are, not what the devil tells us. We thank God. And so Nehemiah goes ahead and he tells us that all his needs were met. He says, and the king granted them to me according to the good hand of God upon me. According to the good hand of God upon me. The king granted them. This king was a pagan king who hated Jerusalem and the people of Jerusalem. But this person is now favoring somebody to go back and rebuild the city. Do you get what is going on here? Help comes from the most unexpected places. With God, help comes from the most unexpected places, I'm telling you. So do not limit God in what he can do and where he can take you and where help will come from. That's why that song, I love it. My help comes from the Lord. He doesn't see his help in any human being but the Lord. But you see, God uses people to bless us. And he's using King Artaxerxes, who didn't fear God, who didn't know God, to be a blessing to the people of Israel. God can bless you with the unexpected person. Even your unbelieving manager can be a blessing. Your unbelieving colleagues, that guy you don't respect on the street, God can use to bless you. And so that is also why we need to understand that if God is going to use anybody to bless us, you be careful who you choose to abuse. You be careful who you choose to sideline. You be careful who you choose to undermine, because you don't know what God is going to do. That's why you be careful what kind of relationships God bring your way. All things happen for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If God brings somebody your way, then it is for a purpose. And so you want to be careful. Don't try and do things in your own way and say the Holy Ghost is moving and the Spirit is doing this. I tell you, oh my days, the things we blame on the Holy Ghost. Children of God, God is at work here. He wants to use us. And as you can see from Nehemiah, let us learn from him. One prayer I have started praying is, God, grant me the anointing of Nehemiah. Grant me that anointing. As I study it and I see the way the guy is operating, I just say, Lord, sometimes I just can't go on anymore. I just say, Lord, anoint me with this man's anointing. The way you bless this guy and you use him, I pray this anointing will follow me. Children of God, pray. Pray. It is not your doings. Let the anointing work for you. Let the Holy Ghost do the work. Let heaven do the work and you enjoy it. All you need to do is give testimony of it. And so we are going to pray. My sermon is finished by God's grace. We are going to pray three prayers.